to Cuba in the late 30s, early 40s, and discovered Afro-Cuban jazz and brought it back, and brought the man who brought the drum to America, this drum, the conga drum, is Luciano Chano Pozo Rodriguez. And he was a black Cuban who was very, 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 very popular in Cuba for writing comparsas. Comparsas are the national carnival rhythm of Cuba. The carnival was actually, Castro kind of like almost outlawed it about 10 years ago. They haven't had carnival in Cuba until recently because of the advent of tourism. So carnival, the best carnival is in Santiago, Cuba, which is in the southern end of Cuba, where there are more predominantly black Cubans who try to keep the comparsa alive, the carnival. This comparsa rhythm is the basic rhythmic pattern for the comparsa, and I'll play a little bit for you. This is where the dance, the conga, originated. But I'll tell you the history of the conga, despite the Desi Arnaz or Ricky Ricardo version of it that we were shown on the Lucy and Desi show back when, is not what you really think it was, okay? The conga is actually a slave dance. What happened was in the transportation of slaves by ship, and of course there were thousands of them held in the hull of the ship, they needed exercise and they needed to move because they were all cramped in these spaces. But they were also chained at the ankle to each other. So what they were forced to do was to be brought up top the ship, and they had to do this. Created by the slaves so they could get some form of exercise. Of course, Gloria Estefan, who we all know, glorified it into a very commercially successful tune, okay? But we were doing the conga long before she was born. And the conga is really a different type of dance today. Of course, nobody's chained to anybody anymore, and it's more liberated, more free type dance. So the conga is actually a slave dance, which has now become a dance form. All right. In the family of drums, we have three drums, as you see before me. The generic name is called tumba or conga, like I said. You have the bass drum, which is the hembra or the female drum. Then you have the conga, which is the macho or the male drum. Then you have the baby drum, which is the quinto and the high-pitched drum. All right, I'm going to play some rhythms. These rhythms I've learned from my travels. I had two teachers, two black American men who studied Cuban music. One, my teacher studied with Chano Pozo, who was the man, like I said, who brought the drum. Actually, Dizzy brought Chano to America, and Chano didn't speak a word of Spanish, and Chano didn't speak a word of English, and Dizzy didn't speak a word of Spanish. So what Dizzy used to say was, well, we spoke African. You know, he said, well, we speak African to each other. And Chano himself was a master showman. He could do incredible things with the drum and scared a lot of people. Unfortunately, he was actually murdered in a restaurant in Spanish Harlem back in 1948, unfortunately. And the person that came behind him was my mentor, Mongo Santa Maria, and he's 78 years old and he's still playing. He's got about 90 albums out. He was the one who made conga drumming commercially successful and acceptable in America by taking tunes like La Bamba and other stuff and doing it his way. But the majority of American people jumped on the bandwagon and got into his type of drumming and music and style. I'll give you a little bit of how Mongo plays, who I've been studying my whole life, and I've been fortunate to have to work with him. And this is kind of like the way he plays. Thank you. That's a little bit of Mongo. Mongo is an incredible individual. Black Afro-Cuban, came to America to be free to be able to play the drum and to popularize it, as I said, in America. We have a lot of rhythms that we play. I'm going to play some rhythms for you. This is the plena. The plena from Puerto Rico, which is a very, very historical rhythm. Historical in the sense that the plena in Puerto Rico was used as a means of commentary, a political commentary about your local situation in your villages and cities in Puerto Rico when they were upset about government control or dictation. And through the plena, they were able to express themselves orally as to what they needed to do as a people to unite themselves to fight the powers that be. And the plena is considered a, I guess you can say, a political rhythm maybe. But this is how now the plena would be played basically on what they call a pandereta. I don't have one here with me. But try to imagine just the head without the body, okay? And they play it here like this, and they hold it on their shoulder, and they kind of slap here and thumb here. So it's that type of thing. Now, on congas, when we're playing dance rhythm, we have to split it up. Where we hold the basic pattern here. The left hand kind of like does the filling. Don't expect me to sing because I don't. Okay, that's one rhythm from Puerto Rico. The other popular rhythm from Puerto Rico is called the bomba, okay? And the bomba is more African in nature. There's a town in Puerto Rico called Luis Aldea where the bomba is from, and it's played very African-ish in the sense that it's very almost violent in the way they play it, which is kind of like this. But for commercial purposes, we play it a little bit slower to make it danceable. Yata yo yo, yata, yata, yata yo yo, yata, yata, yata yo yo, yata, yata, yata yo yo, yata, yata. Baila mi bomba, oh oh, baila mi bomba. And that's the bomba from Puerto Rico.
All right.
From Cuba, the plena and the bomba is very unique to Puerto Rico. It separates them from Cuba. Cuba having many, many different types of rhythms only because of the tribal influence that was brought to Cuba. And you have to understand that there were somewhere up to 20 different tribes brought into Cuba just to harvest the sugar cane. Different slaves, and these slaves were from different tribes who couldn't speak their own languages but had to live and eat and sleep and work together on a daily basis. And you have to understand the amazing aspect of having people around you that don't speak your language, but you got to live with them, you got to work with them, you got to sleep with them, you got to eat with them on a daily basis at the crack of a whip, and then try to live. So it was amazing that they had overcame that aspect of life and still. They were only allowed one day of the week to be able to do what they wanted to, and that was on Sundays. And they only had to do it in the areas where they lived. They couldn't do anything outside of that. And out of these little barrios, or what they used to call solares, where they get the slaves, came the rumba. And the rumba is a very popular dance. Everybody's heard of the rumba. But the way they play it in Cuba is a lot different than the commercial way that you may understand. I'm going to give you a couple of variations of the rumba. On congas here. Itself, actually, if I had a guy and a girl, the rumba is the rooster and the hen. That is the dance, okay? The rooster tried to court the hen and everything like that. And if I wish I had the dancers here to show you how it all blends, the drumming and the dance. You can't have one without the other, okay? It's like hand and foot, as I like to say. You can't have one without the other, and yet it goes hand and foot. Rumba being very popular and still around to this day. Cover that. Then you have your traditional Afro-Cuban rhythms or cult rhythms. One of them is called the Abakwa. The Abakwa coming from the Karabali region of West Africa. This is more in the male cult society, sort of like the Masons, but African style. And one particular pattern that they play is called Abakwa. Goes like this. Ya yo eh, ya yo ma eh. Ya yo eh, ya yo ma eh. Ya yo eh, ya yo ma Abakwa.
Okay. All right. We'll go into
something a little different here. This instrument here is called shekere. Okay. Shekere coming from West Africa, where most of all the tribal instruments and folklore instruments that we play today came from. You like to say the mother country, the origin of the drum. Being naturalists as they are, the Africans are very ingenious in being able to take almost anything and turn it into something that you can play. This is a calabash. It's a gourd. This one in particular comes from Georgia. A lady grows it on her farm. Okay, and what the Africans do, of course, they use it to carry water. They can use it to carry food. We use it, cut it in half and make planters out of it and different types of things. But the Africans took it and... This is a commercial version. I made this one myself. I use pony beads. But in Africa, they would use kola nuts. They would use natural type of nuts and beads and stuff like that, hand-carved, and string them up. Now I'll give you a little demonstration of the shekere. I can't duplicate 300 people here, but I'll try to give you a little example of what the feeling might be to play a little bit of samba with my samba whistle and the agogo. Thank you. A little bit of samba there for you. All right, I'm just going to... Any questions, by the way? Anybody? Any questions? What is Carnival? Carnival is many things. They have Carnival in Trinidad. They have Carnival all over the Caribbean and South America. When? In February. In Rio. In Brazil. I think it's around February the 4th. For 4 days in February. It's the most incredible, intense situation. As a matter of fact, you can rent videos on Brazilian Carnival, so you may want to check that out first. Oh, yeah, the costumes are very, very intense. Like I said, they spend a whole year in the favelas, the barrios where they live, just making these costumes, you know, for the competition, because they're competing. And every samba school, like I said, has at least 300 people. So it's a very, very heavy traditional competition that's been going on for many, many years. And it's also been imported from Mother Africa as far as the intensity and the colorfulness of it all and the excitement of the rhythms and everything. Even though the drumming is very unique to Brazil, the samba you won't find anywhere else, actually. It's something that has been, it's been a mixture of different rhythms that have been meshed together from Africa and different regions of South America that created the samba. All right, no more questions. All right, I'll just play a little bit and show you a little bit of what I do here. Sunday, tomorrow at 2:15, I forget what stage I'm on, at 2:15. Is it the amphitheater at 2:15 with my percussion ensemble, Roots of Rhythm? It'll be four of us up on stage, and we'll be doing a variety of Afro-Caribbean rhythms. We'll be utilizing the bata drums from Nigeria. They're the double-headed hourglass drums. Please come by for that. At 3:45, I will be working with the Miami Latin Jazz Ensemble. We will have an impromptu, what we call descarga, or jam session. And then at 6:45, please feel free to come. I think it is to the amphitheater. We're going to have a Latin dance set from 6:45 to 8:30. So if you want to come and do the cha-cha-cha, do the mambo, come on by tomorrow. And we'll check it out, and we'll have a good time together, all right? So I'm just going to riff a little bit here, and hope you enjoy it. Thank you very much. I'll be over at the apprenticeship demonstration area if you'd like to come by and learn how to play. Come on down, all right? Thank you very much.
Thanks again, Johnny Conga, Miami. Thank you. Check your schedules. He is appearing on four different stages tomorrow, and he is one of the featured master artists in the apprenticeship area in the Crafts Village right behind the tower. Now, we need a few minutes to set up our stage for our next group. We will be working with a Filipino string band, and we're going to need about 8 chairs, and I think we're going to be borrowing from the audience. What we're doing is setting up the stage for Rondella, and I want to give you just a little bit of background about them so that you'll appreciate a little more what you're about to hear. First of all, Rondella is a tradition that's influenced by the Spanish occupation in the Philippines, and there are two instruments that are quite unique to this particular music form. One is the bandura, and the other is the octavina. And it is my understanding that each of the villages would have a rondella band, and that it was their job to play in the fiestas. Now, this group is from Jacksonville. Their facilitator, who is with them, is Randy Fletcher, and he will be doing further explanations about this particular tradition, which has now come from the Philippines to Florida. And this particular group is from the Jacksonville area. If you're looking at your schedules, we are off, as you can see, a little bit. We have to be fairly flexible here at the Folk Festival. It seems to be a part of the tradition of the festival that sometimes things happen that are just unforeseen. And this is the group that was scheduled for 3 o'clock, and we're running just a little late on that, but we are keeping as much as we can to the groups that are scheduled to appear. They're just off by about half an hour. Okay. I'm going to have you go ahead and welcome this group to the stage. Hello. And then I'm giving up my mic so that there will be plenty of sound opportunities for them to be mic'd properly. Let's welcome Rondella.
was alluded to earlier, I'm Randy Fletcher, and we're from Jacksonville, Florida. The musical instruments you see, these are called bandurrias. During the ancient Greek time, it was actually called a bandur. And then during the Spanish Romantic era, it became a banduria. And then, of course, with the colonization of the Philippines under Spain for 300 years, it became a banduria. This is a dying folk art in the Philippines. Years ago, they used to teach us in school. For all the parades and fiestas, they would have banduria groups, or what they call Philippine rondallas. And nowadays, with the fast-paced society, you know, other countries becoming as fast and as hectic as we are, they don't have time for this. They're using the modern synthesizers, keyboards, and things like this. So the true banduria is a thing of the past. And I think it's extremely important, we all think it's extremely important, that we take that cultural music and keep it going here in the States. This is our second year over here, and we've certainly enjoyed it. Before we start, though, sometimes I forget to introduce everybody. I would like to do that. And the commitment, we meet once a week for about the last year and a half. And we perform at weddings, little gatherings, celebrations. And anytime where you hear some unique music, we're usually there. But on my far left, I would like to introduce Heidi Fletcher, school teacher from Duval County. Then Miss Luce Mojica, she's a supervisor at Baptist Hospital in Jacksonville. Then we have Dr. Boyet Patalina, who has his own practice, commonly called the Godfather of Jacksonville. Behind Luce, we have Rod Macpusao, who was a professional musician from the Philippines. He's just a part-time player now with us sometimes. And then in the center, we have Greg Dorado. He's a retired U.S. Navy man, fully retired. He's one of the first presidents of one of the Phil-Am organizations in the Jacksonville area. Then we have Miss Rose Goh, who's a supervisor at St. Vincent's. And then on my left is Mr. Ernie Perez, who is the vice president of the Jacksonville Urban League. Behind me is Tita P. Benito. She's a nurse at, I think, a Baptist? St. Luke's. You know, I've got it made when I go to any of the hospitals. On my right is Dorina Patalina of San Pagita Travel. And when she's not traveling with us, she's nursing and taking care of Doc. Behind me is Vic Renegado from Visayas.